Talk a little bit this morning about my best friend.
Yeah.
Singing about that good friend.
And
he's the very best friend we have. And I'm glad that he can be our personal friend. I wish the world knew Jesus like we can know him.
Yes,
I wish that they could understand him like we understand him. I was thinking of how that when he was here, sometimes he was accused of being a glutton, wine bibber, deceiver, a hard man. I believe in the 25th chapter of Matthew, the one that had one talent, remember, and he hid that. He said, "Thou art a hard man." And he was kind of understood or thought of a lot of different things in different ways. They even called him a blasphemer. But we that know him know much better than that, don't we?
Amen. That's right. Praise the Lord.
And I like to think about the nature of Jesus and what he really is in the day in which we live, what he represents, and what he is. In the 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing, he said, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ." And that's our desire this morning, is that we wouldn't necessarily promote any of our own ideas or opinions or thoughts, that we just kind of set that all aside and give this time to emphasize, by the help of the Holy Spirit, what Jesus Christ really is and what he means to our life and what he came for. And how that he wants to bless and help every life. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, I want to read a few verses to start. The 13th verse, it says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so the Lord, he put the question to the disciples there. He recognized that there were people with different opinions. And I'm convinced this morning there are yet many of opinions, or many that wouldn't lack the full understanding or the full value or understand the true nature of Christ. They tried in their own way, saying, well, he's a good man, he must be a prophet. Or he may be John the Baptist, or this one, or that one. But Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Or you are the anointed. Or you are the Messiah. Or you are the one that God sent to save mankind and to meet the need of every life. And Jesus said, you know, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but God revealed it to you. And I would to the Lord this morning that he would reveal to every one of us Jesus Christ.
Yes.
That he would reveal that he has come and that he's died. And that he rose again and that he lives today. And that he really wants to minister and to bless every life. He wants to have a personal relationship with each and every one. That's what he came for, and that he is. And I'm asking today that the Lord would help everyone to understand, and even understand better after this little time, what Jesus really is and what he means and the purpose of his coming and his attitude and feeling toward all mankind in this day of grace and the day of opportunity. So who do you say this morning that Jesus is? Do you acknowledge him as the Anointed One, as the Christ, as the one that really loves and cares for you, and the one that's able to meet every need of every life? I want to tell you today, that's who he is. He has come to set the captive free. He has come to liberate. He's come to bring total victory in everyone's life. And that's what I'd like to impress on us today, that Jesus came to help you, and he came to help me. Now, in the 15th chapter of St. John, first I'd like to talk just a little bit about his very nature and what he is. And in the 15th chapter of John, in the 12th verse, Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And in the third, in the 1 John 3 and 16, it says, "Here perceive we the love of God, in that he laid down his life for us." Jesus, the greatest that I can comprehend this morning, that I can tell, is that Jesus is one that truly loves. He is one that truly cares. And I'd like to impress on every one of us this morning that Jesus loves me. Jesus cares about me. Regardless of the condition of my life, regardless of my needs, regardless of many things today, know this, that Jesus loves you and that you're special to him. Sometimes people miss that in life. Sometimes they feel they have missed that care and love that was rightly theirs. But today, know this, that Jesus really loves and really cares about you. Sometimes it's kind of hard to understand why the Lord would love us. We kind of feel, well, of all of my failures and all of my weakness and my humanity, how could he set his heart on me? But he did. He loves every one of us. So first of all, to establish our lesson today, I want to establish that in your mind, in your heart, real clear, that Jesus loves you and that he really cares about you. And he manifests that in giving his life, in laying down his life. He said there's no greater love, and there isn't this morning, than one to give their life. That's the most precious thing we have. And therefore, Jesus said, that is the greatest manifestation of our love, inasmuch as that we would lay down our life for others. Now, Jesus goes a little further than that. In the 5th chapter of Romans, I want to read about his love here. Starting with the 6th verse, it says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for who? He died for the ungodly. He died for the rebellious. He died for those that disregarded him and his law and his way. He died for those who, like sheep, went astray. Those who went their own way and did their own thing and rebelled and was disobedient, that's who he died for." Then we read on where it says here, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die." We know that. Families, comrades, and different ones would lay down their life for friends. "But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet unworthy, unrighteous, sinful, wicked, filthy in our own ways, the Lord died for us. He commended his love. He gave his love. While we were yet in that condition, that's the nature of my friend this morning. That's the one that I want to tell you about by the help of the Lord. So much greater than human compassion or human sympathy or human reasoning. When you think about the Son of God, righteous and pure and holy, and willing to go to the cross and suffer for our sins and bear our transgression and shed his blood, it was all because he loved us. And it wasn't something that in the natural he was attracted or would have chosen. But he let me on that suffering, that cross, and he saw you and I today, and he loved us so dearly that he was willing to offer up his life and to shed his blood and to suffer there that we could be saved. Now that's love. That's real love. And that's the love that Jesus had for us. I like to also read in the 9th chapter of Matthew, We're still talking about the attitude and the nature of our friend Jesus. And here in the 9th chapter of Matthew, and the 10th verse, it said, "And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eatest your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Think this morning of the special attention, the special care, the special love that he had for the publican and the sinner. And how that he went to them, and here as he was associating with them, and he was eating with them, and giving some time to them and attention to them. The religious people, the Pharisees, they looked on it with disdain. They thought, well, you know, here's a righteous master. Why would he associate, or why would he lower himself to eat with the sinners? But Jesus made it very clear that that's why he came to the world. That he came to the world to heal those that are sick. And yeah, as a physician, he came to call those that had need in their life. I want to impress that in your hearts this morning, that Jesus is still the same this morning, and he yet came with that in mind to reach out and to meet the need of every heart and every life. And regardless of how sinful or how great a failure it might be, Jesus came, and he, if he were here today, he would eat with them. He would associate. He would bring himself to them, seeking to heal and to bless and to restore and to forgive and help. That's the love of Jesus. I hope this morning, as Christians, that we have the same attitude, that we have the same care, that we have the same love. That we wouldn't be like the Pharisees and think, well, I wouldn't want to associate with anyone unless, you know, they're one of us. But if they're mankind, regardless of the condition or the need of their life, the Lord wants us to have that love and compassion and care and be strong enough in the Lord where we can associate and be able to minister and be able to witness to them and help them be saved. I want to impress on us now that Jesus said he did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but he came to call those that were in need of the physician. He came to call those that were in need of healing. He's still calling today. He's still available for whosoever would come unto him. He'll heal, he'll restore, he'll forgive, he'll make new. That's his nature, that's his love this morning. And that's my friend, that's the dearest friend that I have this morning. And he's very real to me, very personal. And oh, this morning that the world would know, if the world could understand today how loving and how kind and how he wants to bless and heal and help. But sad to say, the Lord's true image and trueness is distorted and blinded by the enemy of all souls. And yet it remains true this morning that Jesus yet loves and cares for a lost and dying world. And for those that are in need of the physician, that one that will heal them and make them whole. I think often, and it always thrills my soul, when I read over here in the 7th chapter of St. Luke about a woman whose life was steeped in sin. And I want to begin reading here in the 37th verse. It said, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, and she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. She bought an alabaster box of ointment, and she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this was that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Kind of strange that all these things happen around the Pharisees, isn't it? But the Pharisee looking on, and he, no doubt this woman had a terrible reputation. She was a well-known sinner in the city. And here she come, and her heart was breaking. Her heart was worshiping the Lord. Her heart was reaching out to Jesus as she wept there and as she offered her love. And I'm sure that in her heart there was repentance. And as she was there, Jesus knowing her and knowing her heart, and yet the Pharisee looks on and said, "Oh, if he knew the condition of this woman's life." No doubt in his mind he thought the Lord wouldn't want to have anything to do with her. He wouldn't want to have any association with her. But we, as we read on down here, we know well today that Jesus knew this woman. And I'm not going to take time to read it all. But he taught this Pharisee that this his condition and the condition of the woman. And excuse me. I'll start with the 45th verse. He said, "Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." Jesus well knew this woman. He knew all the ways of her life. He knew the condition of her life. And yet, he had a love. He had a care. He was ready to respond when she sought him. And as her heart was broken as she sought him, he said, "Your sins, which are many." Real, real sinful woman, but they're all forgiven. That's my friend. That's his attitude. That's his feeling toward the sinner today. I think also in the 8th chapter of St. John, I believe it was, there were some that came tempting the Lord. And they had a woman who had been taken in the act of adultery. And no doubt they all looked down upon her. And remember, they mentioned something about in the Mosaic law that she'd be stoned. And Jesus, he responded, and he said, "You without sin, you cast the first stone." No, the Lord didn't approve her lifestyle. He didn't sanction her sin. It was a horrible thing. And in the eyes of the Lord, he hates that. And it's a terrible, terrible sin. But he was able to look beyond that. And he looked to her and he loved her and he cared for her. And he also forgave her sins.
Yes.
I believe we serve the same Jesus today. I believe as he looks out upon the world today and people's lives mired in sin and unrighteousness and all the evil, that he doesn't care. He hates all the sin and unrighteousness, but he loves the people. He cares for them. He wants to meet the need of their life. He wants to save them. That's the very nature of our Jesus this morning. That's the very character. That's what he is. He is that love and that care for the one that's lost, the one that's unsaved. How thankful we are this morning for his love. How thankful we are that he cares and that he is able to help us and to meet every need of every life. But I want to establish first, before we go on into the lesson, of how much the Lord really cares about each one of us. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want you to know that the Lord doesn't approve your life. And it grieves his heart. But yet, he loves you. And he really wants to do as he did for these in the Bible. He wants to say, "Your sins that are many are forgiven." He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us eternal life. And so this morning, let us be conscious that the Lord truly loves and cares. In the 4th chapter of St. Luke, And in the 17th verse says, there was delivered unto Jesus the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That was his mission, wasn't it? That was his purpose. He came to the world, another place in the third chapter of John. It teaches us that at the time that he came, he didn't come to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. We were already in condemnation, as we was disobedient to the law of God and that which was righteous. We were in condemnation, but that wasn't the purpose of the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord was to deliver us from condemnation, to heal us, to lift us up, to restore us, and to bring a real deliverance, as it says here, and to preach deliverance to the captives. We think of those that are captive as prisoners, held in bondage by force as by an enemy. When we're in captivity, we're not really in charge, so to speak. We're in bondage, and we're kept by a force of the enemy. But Jesus, it says, he came to deliver the captives. He came to set free the captive. And regardless of what it is that's captivated us, if it's unlike Christ, he's come to bring deliverance. And he has the power to do that. And he has the love and the care to do that. This morning, if you're here and you struggle some within yourself, know this, that Jesus has the power to bring a definite deliverance from all the bondage of sin and all the bondage of the enemy and every imposition that he would bring on your life. Jesus Christ came to deliver that. Let it sink down in our hearts this morning and in our minds that's why Jesus came. In the 8th chapter of St. John and the 34th verse, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin." Do you know this morning there are a lot of people in bondage to sin? There are a lot of people that are in a prison of sin. And there is part of them that would like to do better. There's part of them that would like to live better. I know some. I've talked to different ones, and they've expressed to me different habits of life. I have relatives and different ones that say, "Well, I want to stop this. Perhaps smoking or drinking or be what it may. I want to stop it." And so often they make attempts, and they'll try. And maybe they'll get by for a day or so. And then pretty soon they're back in that bondage, that captivity. And many in the world are in that bondage today. Many in that captivity. The Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of Romans kind of spoke to that when he said, "The things that I would do, I can't do. And the things I can't do, I find myself doing." And then he summed it up like this, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Wretched and defeated and heartache, troubles, problems, trying to be a good person in their own self, but simply in captivity and do not have the power to rise above that and to be able to conquer that which they know is not right in their life. The good news this morning is that Jesus came to deliver the captivity, the captive. He came to bring a freedom from every unrighteousness, everything that's unlike God, everything that's impure, everything that's sinful. That's what Jesus came for. And we want to know that. So if sometimes in your life you may become a little discouraged at your own efforts and thought, "Well, I've tried to do better," I want you to take courage this morning. Amen. And know that even though you've tried at different times, To conquer and to do better, that's what Jesus came for. And he has the power. He has the ability to actually deliver and to set free and to make whole. That's my best friend. In the first John over here, it tells us about those that sin and how they're captivated by the devil. Here in the 8th verse, it says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And that's why Jesus came. Now, looking around us, we know that Jesus didn't come to just, and he didn't destroy sin out of the world. Sin's got worse, and it's getting worse and worse. And the Bible teaches that it will. That as the coming of the Lord would approach, that things aren't going to get any better. And we know that. We see it all around us, how many, many things in people's lives and without shame, just waxing worse and worse. So Jesus didn't necessarily destroy sin out of the world, but he destroyed it out of our hearts and our lives. That's what he manifested when he came to the world, where he could take a life that's failed, wrecked, ruined, and make it whole and make it new. That's our best friend this morning. And that's what he came for. He came to do that. Did you know that one thing that we all have in common this morning, all of us that have come to an age of accountability, we all needed that. For we all sin and come short of the glory of God. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. And with that in mind, that doesn't really make anyone feel better than the other, does it? It's simply, if we're righteous today, it's because our Jesus forgave us of our sins. It's because Jesus, we sought him and he destroyed the works of the devil out of our heart and life. And that's what makes the difference between a true Christian and one that is not living for the Lord. But know this morning, that Jesus come, and without respect to persons, he come to destroy the works of the devil out of every heart and every life. And he's willing to do that if man will just seek him. In the 7th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us there concerning the Lord that he's able to save to the uttermost. Sometimes people get discouraged and they feel, well, I've tried and I've tried. You know, I tried to live for the Lord and it didn't do so well. And I tried another time and that didn't work so well. And I've almost come to the place where I'm totally discouraged in trying to live for the Lord. But the Scripture teaches us that he can save to the uttermost. Regardless of the condition of our life, regardless of the situations we might be in life, that our Lord Jesus is able to save. He's able to make a new creation. He's able to make whole. And as a physician, that's what he came for. He came to find those people whose lives were wrecked and ruined, whose lives were total failures, to make them whole and to restore them and to make them new creation. That's what Jesus came for. That's my best friend. In the 4th chapter of St. Luke, it also tells us that he came to heal the brokenhearted. Those that are brokenhearted, those that are depressed and crushed by grief, those whose heart and mind and spirit is broken, it said Jesus came to heal that. Amen. And I think of over here in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and how it tells us that he was acquainted with grief, and a man that was despised and rejected. In the 4th verse it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." Now, the Lord came not only to deliver from sin, but he came to heal the broken heart. He came to take away all grief, all sadness, all sorrow of heart, and to bring peace and joy and hope, as we heard this morning. That's what Jesus come. And without respect to persons, He wants to work that in every one of our lives. He don't want you to go on through life brokenhearted. He don't want you to go on life in deep grief and sorrow. But He wants to bring His joy and peace into your heart, into your life. In the 147th Psalm, in the third verse says, He healeth the brokenhearted, and He bindeth up their wounds. In the 34th chapter of the Psalms, tells us there how this... Well, I better read the fourth verse. It said, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles.
Praise the Lord.
That's the Lord that we live for.
Amen.
Then in the 18th verse says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord this morning wants to heal the brokenhearted. He wants to restore the peace and the joy and His blessings in their heart and their life. That's the Jesus we live for today. When you look upon the world, you see a lot of heartache, don't you? When you look upon the world, you see a lot of troubles, problems, people going their own way and serving their own lusts and desires, and just continually are worse off. Broken homes, the penitentiaries, the crime, a lot of broken hearts. But Jesus came to heal the broken hearts. He came to bring a joy. He came to bring a peace to impart into every one of our hearts and our lives. That's the good news. And that's my best friend this morning. That He, regardless of what the situation is, He's able to heal your broken heart. He's able to restore. I was thinking of Peter. You remember when Peter failed the Lord, denied the Lord, and I'm sure that his heart was broken. And over in the 22nd chapter of St. Luke, gives us the one of the recordings of after he had denied the Lord. And here in the 60th verse, it says, Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he spake, the cock crew.
Yeah.
And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter.
Oh, yeah.
And Peter, remembering the word of the Lord, how that he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly.
Yeah.
I have often thought of those eyes as they met one another. And no doubt, Peter, as he had failed, how brokenhearted he was. Oh, the regret, the sorrow of heart. I've done it. I've failed. I've come short. And looking upon the eyes of the Lord, I see eyes of compassion, eyes of mercy. Peter, this is the way I told you it was going to be. And oh, no doubt it struck him in his heart. I failed. I have come short. And it says he went out and he wept bitterly. He yet had a hope, didn't he? He yet knew that the Lord in His mercy and the Lord would forgive and restore. And I'm sure that his heart was healed, that broken heart.
Amen.
And the Lord this morning is in that business of healing broken hearts. That's what He came for. He also came to set at liberty those that are bruised. To be bruised, to suffer injury, to be crushed by beating or pounding is one of the definitions of being bruised. To be crushed by pounding and by beating. There are many lives this morning that have been bruised. There have been many people that have been abused verbally, physically, just about every way they have been bruised. They've been injured. They've been hurt. The good news this morning is that we don't have to continue. The good news this morning is people sometimes say, well, I've been bruised, I've been mistreated, I've been offended, I've been hurt, I've been done wrong, and that's true. But the good news this morning is that Jesus came to heal our bruises. He came to heal the scars. He came to make whole the infirmities in our bodies, in our spiritual life. He came to make us whole. We don't have to live with them. We don't have to suffer with them. Many times people suffer a long time in their trials with ill will. And sometimes they fight bitterness because they fail to forget. And they're bruised with perhaps misunderstandings or mistreatment or things of that nature. But Jesus said, I come to deliver. I come to set at liberty them that are bruised.
Thank the Lord.
What a perfect salvation this morning. What a wonderful Lord. That's our Jesus today. He came to heal. And He came to deliver us and set us at liberty from our bruises. We don't have to go around with an inferior plan of salvation. We don't have to go around with less liberty than the Lord has brought for us. And yet sometimes people live that way. Sometimes they go on and they struggle and they struggle and they struggle with their feelings, when the Lord wants to set at liberty them that are bruised. He'll enable us and He'll give us the power through His Word and through His way to be free. In the Second Peter tells about His promises that He's given us. And through His promises we are able You're able to escape these bruises.
Yes,
whereby is given unto us, the fourth verse, first chapter, Second Peter, these great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption is in the world through lust.
Thank the Lord.
He empowers us, He enables us with His divine nature and divine power and with His grace to forget and to turn loose and to commit. The Lord is our example over here in 1 Peter. In the 20th verse of the second chapter it says, for what glory is it if you be buffeted for your own faults? You shall take it patiently. But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable of God. Being bruised, mistreated, when you're doing well, you know, it wasn't your fault. And yet you was not done right. Jesus said, if we take it patiently, it's acceptable with Him. Then He gave us an example. He said, for here even unto are you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was mistreated, when He wasn't done right, He reviled not again. When He suffered, He didn't threaten, but He committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. This morning, many of our bruises, we can find liberty through His grace, through His forgiveness, and through committing it to the Lord. Don't let hurts hang on in your life. Don't live with them. But cast them off. Regardless of how unjust they are, how people may not understand, the Lord has a grace and a love and a power that He gives us that we can forgive and commit it to the Lord. And that's how He sets at liberty those things that would bruise and injure and hurt and be sensitive in our lives. Jesus come to bring that liberty to us. To every one of us. Every one of us can have that peace and that joy. It's sad today that people let many things bother them. Let many things take away their joy and their peace and their victory. And sometimes other people may call them petty, but when it's us, it's not so petty. But the important thing is, you don't have to live with that, regardless if it's little or large. Whether it's right or wrong, you don't have to let it take away your joy and your peace, because Jesus came to set you at liberty. And when you find you're going through, you know, people say, I'm going through a severe trial. I'm having such a hard time loving so-and-so or being kind to them or forgiving them. The Lord has a liberty that he wants to set us free. And that's what he come to bring. He come to save the sinner. He came to bless the brokenhearted. He come to set at liberty them that are bruised. And to give us that power and strength in our life that we can have victory, that we can rejoice in the Lord. It also says in the fourth chapter there of Luke that he come to recover the blind, the sight of the blind. Jesus came to open eyes, didn't he? He came to help people be able to see and to understand and to have a discernment, a sight and a discernment that is beyond the natural man. Jesus came for that. And I was thinking along those lines in the second chapter of Second Corinthians, the fourth chapter, it teaches us there that the God of this world has blinded the minds. And we heard a message on that in this meeting, how people have a veil over their eyes, remember? And the God of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those, unless they would believe the gospel and be saved. He also would seek to impair the visions of believers. He would try to obscure our vision or our understanding. But Jesus came to give sight. He came to give light. And he'll help every one of us to know exactly where we are. Now, it wouldn't be safe this morning to just say, well, I'm going to figure out where I am spiritually, and I'm going to determine just what my needs are and what they aren't, and just kind of rationalize those in our own mind. That's not a safe course. But Jesus came to give that sight. He came to open the blind eyes and to give us a real, true insight and light concerning the eternal things, the true spiritual things. In the 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, and the 12th verse, it talks about spiritual things, and it says, now we receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural, it was the Holy Spirit that Jesus dealt with us through the Holy Spirit to reveal to us what sin is and to reveal to us the penalty of sin. You couldn't actually come to that conclusion in your own natural man. And so it is in all of our spiritual life this morning. It is not in us in our natural ability. Have you ever talked to someone about a need in their life and they couldn't see it at all? Say, well, what you need to do is this. And they say, well, I don't seem like that's right at all. And perhaps because the Lord revealed it and the Spirit revealed it to you, and yet in their natural ability they were not able to see it or to understand it. And that's the way it is with spiritual living. You cannot do it just in yourself. But Jesus, who is the light of the world, and he lighteth every man that comes into the world, he is that light. And he is the one that opens our understanding and opens our eyes into the spiritual things that otherwise we wouldn't know. Jesus came for that purpose. We need today to point people to that. There comes many times that we in our own efforts, even with good desires, are not able to help people understand or to know the need of their lives. But Jesus can make them know. He can reveal that to them, and he does. That's my best friend. My best friend this morning, he has all knowledge. He is the light of the world. He's able to find every life and clearly reveal to them exactly where they stand. Did you know that sometimes people, in their experience, they don't know? You ask them sometimes, well, are you saved? They say, well, I hope I am. You know, I'm not really sure. Other times, people will say, Are you sanctified? Well, I sought it. I hope I am. I'm really not sure. But Jesus knows. Jesus can open the eyes and can reveal His truth and reveal the condition of our life and help us to know exactly what we need. And we might be confused sometimes. And I've dealt with enough people to know, and I've experienced in my own life at a time when there was confusion and when I didn't really know as clear as I wanted to know regarding my condition or my relationship with the Lord. But Jesus is faithful. And He came to reveal that to us. He came to personally relate to you. He came to personally show you if you're not pleasing Him, if you're not experiencing the fullness of His blessing, if you're not just where the Lord wants you, He'll be faithful to reveal that to you. He'll open your eyes to it. You know, and He does that, doesn't He? Other times in our life, sometimes maybe an attitude or a feeling begins to develop, and Jesus says, this isn't like Christ. This isn't a part of me. And then we lift our hearts to the Lord and ask Him for the grace and power to enable us. But that's why Jesus came. That's why He came to the world, because He loves us and He wants to open our eyes. He wants to reveal to us and to show us today the condition and the need of our life, as well as that what He can do for us. He said He came to preach the gospel to the poor. The good news this morning, it's to the poor. Now, when He's talking about poor, it's not necessarily those who are on Skid Row, those that are penniless, but those that are humble, those that are poor in spirit. That's who He come to bring the good news to, and that's who it's for. And that's to all of us today. All of us can be poor in spirit, and that's what He brought the message to, the good news to, is to those that are poor in spirit. In the 138th Psalm, the Lord tells us something there about Jesus and His nature. Here in the sixth verse it says, though the Lord be high, yet He hath respect unto the lowly. But the proud He knoweth afar off. Now, while the Lord is not really a respect to persons, He does have respect for the lowly. He does have special regard to the humble, regardless of who they are, or where they are, or what the condition is. He's committed Himself to regard and to have special recognition and attention to the lowly. Now He says, the proud, you know, the far off, those who let pride keep them from seeking the Lord and acknowledging their need, He says He knows them afar off. Another scripture says, He resisteth the proud, or even the self-righteous. He knows them afar off. But those that are humble and those that are low, He come to bring the good news of the gospel. He preached that to the lowly. Yeah. And that can be every one of us if we choose to be. We can be humble. That's at our disposal. We can humble our hearts before the Lord. And then all the gospel, the message, the truth is to us, that we might be saved. And I want to recall the 34th Psalm here, where it says in the 6th verse, this poor man, remember the gospel's to the poor, and this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The regard and the respect that God has for the poor man, the humble man. And I am convinced today that my dear friend will respond every time that a poor man cries. Every time that an individual will humble her heart, regardless of what the need is, regardless of how great the sin is, or if it's just a spiritual need in their life, when they cry unto the Lord, He will regard it. He'll respect it, and He'll respond to that. That's the great position that we're talking about this morning. It ought to encourage your hearts. It ought to inspire us today to know that regardless of my needs, that's why Jesus came. He came to heal it. He came to restore. He came to make whole. And all that I have to do is to be poor. All I have to do is humble my heart and myself before the Lord, and He'll fulfill that which He so desires to fulfill in every one of our lives. In the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, in the 34th verse, it says, Peter, this is the Peter, you remember, that went out and wept bitterly, and who found forgiveness, and who was restored. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Amen.
The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same as when Peter delivered this great message from the Lord. And he made it clear that God was no respecter of persons, that those that would fear the Lord, honor the Lord, humble their hearts, that he went about healing them of all the oppression of the enemy, all of the works, and the enemy that had taken advantage of all, he went and healed them all. Did you know this morning that Lord is yet the same today? And that he's more than willing to heal and to make whole and to restore, whether it be great or whether it be small, the needs and the lives of each and every one. That's my Jesus. That's my best friend this morning. I couldn't conclude this message this morning without being fair. The Jesus I've talked about this morning is the Jesus that is with us today. This is what we commonly consider the day of grace, or the day of mercy, or the day of opportunity. But the same Jesus, the same friend that came and sacrificed himself and gave his life to bring about all this blessing and greatness to our life, he one day is going to be our judge. And we must consider that as well. So in closing, I'd like to read over here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 10th verse says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Knowing his terror, knowing his all-righteous judgment, we persuade, or we urge, or we do anything we could to help you to take advantage of this beautiful friend today. The great love, to deny the love, to turn away from the love and the provisions he's made, is no doubt the greatest sin of man. When you really think about all that he suffered and all that he did to bring about this beautiful life and to bring about healing to mankind, to make whole and to restore and give us joy and happiness and eternal life, to just carelessly turn that down and turn away from that is no doubt, in my mind, the greatest sin. And Jesus is going to be our judge as well. So I want to encourage everyone this morning to accept him as a friend he is. To accept him this morning as the one that can meet every need of every life. And know that that's what he wants to do. I like to sing Christ, the friend we need. Let us stand and sing 417. And think about it this morning. Jesus came to be your friend. And without respect to person, he's ready to meet the need of every life. We want to encourage you to seek the Lord this morning.